Not in action. All right, we're going to... I wanted to have a little icon here of a guy named Nat, and I was going to use him as a little animated something stupid here, but with my lame amateur PowerPoint skills, you've been saved. So we're going to look here. There are four possibilities. We're going to look here at hide mode and static mode. There's another cell phone. And we're going to look at outbound connections and inbound connections and see what happens. Okay, the first thing we're going to do here is talk about what's inside an IP packet. I could spend 4 days talking about what's inside an IP packet. I'm just going to mention a couple of basic fundamental things that you need to know for network address translation. You can get a PhD in IP packetology, I'm sure, from somewhere. Two of the most important things are the IP source address. Every TCP/IP packet that goes anywhere contains the source address of the machine where it came from. Or, if you spoof it, it can contain any IP address you want. But let's start with normal expected IP packets, which have the IP address of the TCP/IP host that sent the packet. Another thing it also contains is the destination. You wouldn't be able to route the packet over your network or over the internet if it didn't have an address where it wants to go. So this is like a letter you're throwing in the mail, or I guess in the example of the internet, the canonical example, it's a postcard you're throwing in the mail, and this postcard has a to address and it has a from address. You already know that. This is simple stuff. Something else that it has is a port number. Those of you who know the OSI model, this is layer 4. This is the transport layer. For example, these are port numbers you've heard about. If you're talking to a web server, it's port 80 HTTP. If you're talking to an FTP server, it's port 21. Outbound email is SMTP port 25, etc. You've heard these port numbers before. These get sent along with every packet. Again, this is a to address and a from address. The from address is actually sort of a little more mysterious. A lot of times when I'm teaching firewall classes, a lot of people are sort of uncertain or sort of surprised by this concept that every packet has a from port address. And it turns out it's actually fairly valuable, and it's one of the things that keeps firewalls, by which a firewall can keep its internal state tables straight. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Also inside an IP packet, there's lots of other stuff. There's the data payload. You know, and this is your oversized ping of death packet or whatever it is you're sending today. Error correction information, et cetera. There's an awful lot of other stuff corresponding with other layers and flags, et cetera, et cetera. But for purposes of the discussion of network address translation, the only things that are really important for us today are the to and from address for the to and from IP address and the to and from port address. So we could talk about translating some of those addresses.
Stuff for TCP/IP or IP in general?
IP in general. Okay, so now we're going to go to hide mode outbound, the first one. Step number one. Okay, this is hide mode. You remember we have the LAN users who are sitting inside the LAN. They're protected by hide mode. They have a non-routable address. They have one of these private addresses. It's like 192.168, right? So we know already that if they send a request out to some web server on the internet using their own address, where's the web server going to reply to, right? If this packet goes out just by itself, some web server somewhere on the internet is going to get a request, an HTTP request, from somebody who's identifying themselves as being 192.168, you know, 1.2. That web server can't reply because, well, we know that you can't respond to an address like that. You can't send packets over the internet to one of those non-routable addresses. So we know already that some translation is going to have to occur here before that packet leaves your security perimeter. So the packet leaves the client, and you can see here, I've just enumerated the four sort of different embedded addresses in that packet. The first one is the IP source address is the private address. You know, this is the private address of your web client there at work. The IP destination, I'm just using www.website.com. It's just a placeholder. Your web client is going to pick a random high TCP port number, and the destination is going to be port 80, and we know that because you're trying to talk to a web server. As it leaves, your firewall or your NAT box, okay, this is where the network address translation comes in, your NAT box overwrites the source address with the public IP address. So you see there, the IP source, we've overwritten it with a virtual public address. This is an address that you own. You've been assigned it by your ISP or by IANA, and you own it, and it routes on the internet. And the other three addresses you leave unchanged. One of the important things here is that the firewall has to store information about this connection in the state table. Because this packet, you know, the firewall is actually sort of maintaining two different connections now. One between the internal client and the firewall, and another one between the firewall and this web server out on the internet. And you have to keep all that straight, because when the answer comes back, the firewall has to decide whether to let this in or not. So the firewall keeps a state table, just a little bit of RAM, just keeps a little piece of, just a simple little table that says, okay, this inside user at this IP address, he has an open connection going out to this web server. His real address is this. The fake external address we gave him is that. And the connection is open. He went out on this port number. You know, so just some basic information. So the firewall keeps the state information in order to keep the channel open for the return traffic. The remote public server, this is, you know, the website you're going to. Now, he sees a request from a valid internet host, you know, 205.219.84.5 or whatever. That's a valid routable address. So the web server sees this and says, hey, I'm a web server. My job is to serve up web pages. I've got a valid HTTP request here from a valid internet address. So he just responds. So he sends back. Now, in a sense, it's easy to see he's just flipping the to and from on both the IP address and the port address. So he flips the two here. So this packet that leaves the server has a source address from him, which makes perfect sense. He's sending it back to the virtual public address. The port is on 80. The port source is on 80. And the destination is the original high TCP port number. Now, this is sort of one of the mysteries that everyone's sort of surprised to see, is that when your replies come back from public web servers or from any web server, the two port number is the same random high TCP port number that your machine selected at the beginning. Now, since the firewall has kept that information in the table, the firewall is able to disambiguate these replies when they come back and decide who gets this packet.